All right, we're glad you're here this morning. Thanks for making an effort. We're in Ephesians chapter 2 this summer. We're going through the book of Ephesians, and this morning's passage will be Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22. We'll see today how there's a relationship issue between Jew and Gentile. Racism, division was the issue. And of course, Paul addresses that this morning. I'd like to begin with a passage. So there's a passage on the screen I'd like to show you, and it's 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. The Bible says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled," that's a key word here, "reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us that message of reconciliation. So we are therefore Christ's ambassadors," that's followers of Christ, "as though God was making his appeal through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And as we think about that this morning, when a person puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, they're reconciled with the Father. And then this ministry of reconciliation needs to be popular in our lives. And I'll tell you, the greatest decision I ever made was to move to North Carolina. No, it was to give my life to Christ, to become a follower of Jesus, to become his child. And that's when I was reconciled with Christ. And I became a follower of him. And the Holy Spirit took up residence in my life. And when we think about this, when we think about the journey God takes us on, he moves us into different directions, and he wants us to be reconcilers with the body of Christ, with people. You know, it's amazing that we've had the opportunity to be part of North Carolina for 22 years, and we just love it here. But I remember when we first moved here, there was a little bit of like, you're from a different part of the country. You talk funny. And you know, in fact, certain ones like my buddy Maynard Ledford would let you know, you're not from around here, are you? He goes, if you ever go back to Ohio, we're going to close the gate and let you know that you don't belong. No, he's been very kind. But, you know, sometimes that's a division thing, where you're from, who you vote for, what your skin color is. And that should not be. Because the Bible teaches that there needs to be a unity. In fact, I love this phrase I heard someplace, that it's all level at the cross. It's all level at the cross. You know, this is close to my heart. I have an older son, and they live in Hawaii, and he's a white kid. And, you know, he married a beautiful little Hawaiian girl 18 years ago already. Boy, Jeff, we're getting old. But as I think about that, he's had to push through some cultural barriers that are there. In fact, they let him know that he's not quite like them at times. And, of course, the Marburger way is just to kind of push through and push in. So they're stuck with him in Hawaii, too. But, you know, I just love what we're called to do and called to be in this ministry of reconciliation. I got to show you a family picture because we're very diverse. This is older. We've added two grandchildren since then. And, of course, my daughter's in the front row, and then my wife, and then my daughter from Hawaii, if you notice. She obviously looks different. And then the back row's all different. In fact, the one toward the middle, that's Isaiah, and he is a piece of work, boy. And, you know, I get to take him to school in the morning, and the other day he had a brace on his wrist, and I said, what happened? He goes, oh, nothing. He goes, when I wear this brace, the girls think I got an injury. And girls like it when you have an injury. So I'm glad he likes the boy or girls. Oof. But you know, context, of course. But you know, there's of course some diversity there. And God loves them all. And as I think of this, please, I'm not bragging on my family, but I'm thankful for my family. You know, my son and daughter in the bottom right there, they're very passionate about adoption. So they just take in everybody. They've got 6 kids. And it becomes very good. In fact, sometimes my wife will have several of them out, and she'll be babysitting, and they go, "Do you do child care?" And she goes, "No, they're all mine." And but you know, we've sought to embrace, and I've had to push through some of that, you know, because you know how we're raised. Sometimes we just don't accept all people. You see, you can take that down now. But as I think of this, we're His workmanship. Brian talked about that last week. We're His workmanship. We're His masterpiece. You see, and we got to be careful that these divisions that take place should not creep in to this local body. You know, in this section of Scripture, as we introduce this, Paul shows us in this passage that racism and division have no place in the church. Because of Jesus, the two enemies become friends. And that's our intro this morning. See, the Jews thought, hey, we're a little more superior than the rest. You know, we have the mark of circumcision. I mean, we actually come from Abraham. I mean, we got some good blood in us. But again, racism, division, no place for us. And as we said, it's all level at the cross. And what Paul's going to do here in this passage is this remind us of three things that we need to remember as we go through this journey. You know, I go to the YMCA once in a while, believe it or not. And as you go in there, the Dover Y, the Y here in Shelby, there's a mural someone has painted, and it's really a beautiful picture. It's worth going in there to see, of a bunch of little kids, and then they have Jesus there around all those little kids, and He's ministering to them. And the painting has a black Jesus. And as you look at that, I thought, that's what it's supposed to be. Really, it's like that song, red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in His sight. And they don't have to be children. And as we think of the community God puts us in, red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. So let's plow through this passage this morning. Hopefully there'll be some nugs for us to just take with us and help us as we're on this journey. Because we all have issues at times, I believe, with just accepting other people, whether it be race, where they're from, who they voted for, you know. Let's see what the Bible says. So in verse 11, again, we've just come through the workmanship part. Therefore, verse 11, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Before Jesus, B.C., as for you, as for all of us, and again, he's specifically saying, as you Gentiles, because if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. A dark picture. We're alienated from God and from God's people. And you know, again, a very sad place to be separated from Christ. Before conversion, then, BC, before Christ, all of us were lost. All of us were outcasts. The Jews were outcasts. And what the Jews would say was to the Gentiles was a slur. And say, "You uncircumcised. You're not like us." In fact, William MacDonald states, "This meant that the Gentiles did not have the surgical sign in their flesh that marked the Israelites as God's covenant people." And you know, I was thinking about this, and I think about David. Remember David when he was taking on Goliath? He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" So, you know, that's a slurry. He's saying, you know, this guy, you know, and of course David was defending truth. But in this case, you know, he uses it very strongly and says, "Who is this guy, this uncircumcised Philistine?" So when you think of this, who we were before Christ, we were without Christ. That's our first point. We were without Christ. Being without Christ meant they had no Messiah. Being without Christ showed that the Gentiles were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers. They were foreigners without the rights and privileges of citizenship. And of course, the point is, both Jew and Gentile without Christ is unclean. And I think sometimes the longer we get away from the time of our accepting Jesus, the less and less sensitive we are of what we came from. Remember, BC, before Christ, we were lost and separated. We didn't have a relationship with Christ. And we need to remember just sometimes of what it was like BC, before Christ. Without Christ. And when you're without Christ, you're without hope. You're without hope. The Gentiles, they were hopeless. They were godless. And they opted for idols rather than truth. Because they did not know God. They did not know hope. In fact, during this period, the Ephesian culture, they had nothing to hold on to. I mean, they were worshiping empty idols, the traditions, and you know, it's just very lost. They didn't have a hope. You know, the nations through Israel, that didn't work for the Jewish people as well. And, you know, it makes me think of when there's no hope. You know, Christmas movie. Wonderful Life. Remember George Bailey? He lost his hope. And it's just, when you don't have hope, you're really down and out. I had the opportunity yesterday to do a funeral for an older lady who was part of our church, and she had hope on her deathbed. In fact, one of the things she held on to, it was pretty neat, she said, you know, because cancer just started to eat up her body the last couple weeks of her life, and she said, "Well, you know, I'm in good company. Jesus suffered for me. It's the least I can do." And her focus was on hope and on him and what she had and has and is now experiencing because she has hope. And I'll tell you, we need to keep hoping for what God has showed us. In fact, there's a passage. I love to give Bible verses because they just help us. And in 1 Thessalonians, Paul's given the church of Thessalonica some hopeful words, because you know they were losing loved ones, they didn't know what was going on with the second coming of Christ and all that. And he says, "Brothers and sisters," so this is for all of us, if you're a brother or a sister in Christ, "brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death," in other words, those who die, "so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died, rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Stay with me, just three more verses. For the Lord himself, the Bible says, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encouragement. Hey, we have heaven to look for. Sure, we miss our loved ones. You know, I had a father die when I was 16 years old, and I still miss him. I wonder what it would be like to just talk to him and hear about what it was like to fight in World War II and to hear, you know, what it was, the key ingredient to stay with my mom because she was a tough one. You know, but it would just be nice to just kind of have that relationship. And I miss him, but you know what? He's in heaven. We have that hope. We don't need to grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. But it's also important that we remember to share the message of hope with those God puts in our life. Those family members maybe that have never heard of Jesus or heard the message of hope. So be a messenger of giving that hope out as you live out Jesus. And then without God, who we were before Christ. Without Christ, without hope, and without God. Be deeply grateful for what God has done for us. We too, again, were without God at one point. Our condition that was separated with Him. And be careful that we don't let spiritual pride get in the way. You know, both the Jews and Gentiles really dealt with this here. Jews thought, hey, our traditions, you know, where we're from, you know, don't let that get in the way. Never forget the amazing grace of God. And never stop showing that grace. We're to be givers of grace. And sometimes it can be hard because we forget again, as I said earlier. And gratitude's a great reminder. I think the more thankful we are as His people, as we're on this journey that we call life, the better off we'll be. And remembering what Jesus did for us is a good thing. So that's the first reminder, BC, before Christ, who we were before Christ. And then in verses 13 through 18, Paul reminds us what Christ has done for us. What Christ has done for us. And again, we see this in verses 13 through 18. But look at verse 13 here. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Brought near. A change occurs in Christ. Did you get that? In Christ. We were far away, but because of the shed blood of Jesus, we are now near. The blood, again, that's what reconciles us. And sometimes, you know, there's a message out there, well, you didn't need the blood. No, you did. It was the shed blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. Look at this passage in Romans 5, verses 10 and 11. And notice what it says here. It says, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So, we can never forget. We can never, ever forget, this is a little header in your notes, that Christ died on behalf of us. He bore our punishment, He took our place, and He declares us righteous. We receive benefits of forgiveness, righteousness, and a new life. And you know, sometimes those we take forgiveness for granted, don't we? We take forgiveness. Righteousness for granted. We take this idea of new life for granted. But you know, We shouldn't do that. Never forget, as the fact that Jesus brought us near. I mean, we have intimacy, we have closeness with him. And you know what's great about that closeness? It draws us near to each other. It allows us to be close to each other, even though we are from different places. Even though we are, sometimes we think a little different than the other person. It's okay when there's not doctrinal truth being violated to disagree without being disagreeable. Don't always look for a fight. You know, I don't have this in my notes, so I always get in trouble when I go off my notes. But I'm going off anyway. Here's the thing. Seek to win the relationship rather than the argument. I'd write that down. It's not original, by the way. But seek to win the relationship, not the argument. You know, I'm from a big family, and there's eight siblings, and we used to have some, and sometimes even still. In fact, I got to tell you a funny story. I used to live in Michigan, and of course, if you're from Ohio, you just don't like people from up north. So you shouldn't say don't like them, but there's a little division, Ohio State, Michigan. But I remember I came home from, I taught school in Michigan, and the students gave me a Michigan t-shirt. So I wore it home. I didn't think much of it. And you know, I had one brother, he didn't talk to me for like 6 months because I wore that thing. Why'd you wear that in our house here? That thing's corrupt, you know. He's dead serious. But you know, we made up and stuff. I gave him a Michigan shirt for Christmas last year, and we're having a great time. But as you think about that, the closeness, it's a fun rivalry. I know you Duke Carolina people have that here too. But there's a nearness that comes when we remember what Christ did on our behalf. We're brothers, we're sisters in Christ. Because verses 14 through 16 tell us that Jesus made us one. Jesus made us one. For he himself is our peace, verse 14, who made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Isn't that great to look at? I mean, he made the two groups. He made them one. The barrier, the wall has come down. So remember that. That we're made one in Christ. And Paul says that Jesus tore down that dividing wall. Don't build fences that create division. Jesus wants unity. A couple of verses to think about. Galatians 3, verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. That's right from the Bible, guys. So if you say, well, you know, I can't like these people, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, it was popular for slavery in this season, male or female, we're one in Christ. And then Colossians. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, sectarian, whatever you say that, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. You know, I have to think, it makes God smile when there's unity. You know, I've got a son-in-law, he's in that picture, and they live in South Florida. In fact, you go there, and the church is just so diverse. In fact, I'm the minority when I go there, and I got all these people come up hugging you and stuff. I said, good to see you. You know, but that, I'm trying to embrace that. But you know, my daughter was here last summer for Bible school, and she has just four little boys, and they were on the playground, and she said, Mom, I can't find my kids because all the kids here are white kids. And you know, he said, really, wouldn't it be better if it was, I know Corby would love that, the more ethnicities that are out there, the better. And she said, I just can't find them. But you know, we found them, of course. But you know, when you think about that, there's, in fact, have you ever thought of this? Our mandate, we've been talking about discipleship last several weeks, and it says, go and make disciples to all nations. And if you research that word nations, it's that idea of all ethnicities. So Jesus says, hey, don't just stick to the Jew. Go after everybody. That's who we're called to make disciples. We have the great privilege to love others as God loved us. Jesus preached peace, verses 17 through 18. And he came, the Bible says, and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. And that peace just comes there because of salvation. I know the first verse I ever memorized was Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Paul's message of the good news that brings peace was for those far away and those who are near. So Jew and Gentiles. So preach peace. And then again, we've touched on this already a little bit. Be peacemakers. Strive to make peace with all God brings into our lives. And then one more point under point two. Jesus gives us access to God. For through him, verse 18 says, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You know, it's great to think about when we respond to Jesus and his message, we have direct access to him. You know, you don't need a pastor to go to Jesus. You can go to him in the quietness of your seat this morning, as you're driving, as you're out walking in the woods. You don't need a mediator. In some churches, well, you have to go to this person in order to get to God. That doesn't jive in the Bible. We have direct access to God. Access to him. And again, another passage. I got to give this. In fact, this is in next week's message too, so I'll give it to you twice, but I'm going to give it to you this morning. Hebrews 4. Look what it says. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for if we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. And then verse 16, so let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We can go right to him. We have great access. We have direct access. God, it's me again. I messed up. You know, I made this racial comment that I shunned of. You know, I didn't accept such and such because he was from a different part. He voted different than me this year. We're fellow citizens. We're connected in Christ. One more point. We're getting there. Point three. A final reminder from Paul, who we are in Christ now. So before Jesus, what he's done for us, who we are in Christ. And we see this in verses 19 through 22. And Paul, what he does here, he gives us three word pictures. You know, word pictures kind of help us, like they help us see it. And he gives us three word pictures. He calls them us fellow citizens and fitted together and built together. So that first picture is you're citizens of God's kingdom. You're no longer foreigners or strangers, but you're fellow citizens. Verse 19a. You're not refugees anymore. You have citizenship. You know, America, I know we're hard on it. It's a little messed up at times, but it's a great place to live. It really is. And it's nice to be an American. But, you know, far better, we're citizens of God's kingdom. You know, if you were from Rome, you had specific privileges in this day. I mean, you were like the elite. But, again, far better is to be a citizen of heaven. In fact, Philippians tells us that. We are citizenship. We are his citizenship in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first word picture. And then we're members in his family, with God's people and also members of his household, the second part of verse 19. Did you get that? So as believers, we're part of the family. No matter our backgrounds, no matter our skin color, where he's placed us, we're one family. We're adopted into the family. And adoption's a close thing to my heart. And our church has really taken on some of this idea of fostering an adoption. And I remember when our first, it wasn't our first, but he's our oldest, Cervante. Can you stick that picture up there again? I got to point out Cervante. They say we favor each other. He's the third one from the right. That's Cervante. And we got him, well, Jeff and Mandy got him, but he's, again, part of our family. But we got him when he was like 10 or 11 years old. And I remember when this process started. And he's really been good for the rest of the family because Cervante, he fits the mold of a Marbury. He talks and talks and talks and talks. He's a talker. But I remember when we started to bring him to church, you can take the picture down now. He saw Corby here on a Wednesday night. He goes, and he talks real fast. Hey, Corby, I'm getting adopted. And of course, Corby, you know, he starts to cry and stuff. And yeah, that's so beautiful. He gives him a big hug. But you know, he's just like, man. In fact, if you ask him what he's thankful for when we get together, you know what he says? I'm thankful for family. You know? And again, friends, if we could just really grasp this, that there's people who need to come in. It's important that we are people that embrace and pull them in and hold them close. Once we were not part, he chose us and brought us in. In fact, Ephesians 1:5, here it is. He predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and his will. We're adopted children. And then that final word picture here, where we're stones in God's temple. Verse 20, build on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And from that thought there, that's biblical teaching. With Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So think of this. For almost 1,000 years, the temple had been the focal point of all Jewish life. Now there's a new temple. And you know, when you think about it, we're his temple. We're his temple. I love the emphasis here. The emphasis is the apostles and prophets teaching. That's the word of God. If you're in a connect group, make sure the word of God's opened. If you hear a message in church, you call the preacher if he doesn't use the word of God. Because that's the hope that we have. That's what gives us stability. In Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, don't you just love that person when you spend time with them? They get the word in there. Well, you know, Gary, you ought to think about it this way. The Bible says, and having those people that are always just giving you scriptures. And not only do they give them, but they live them out. So be that person. In 1 Peter, there's two more references I want to point out to us this morning. In 1 Peter 2:5, just to kind of make this point more solid, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. As his holy priesthood, We're to offer ourselves as living and spiritual sacrifices, daily laying our own desires aside and following Him. We're living stones. And then as we think of this idea, temple, and I got to point this out because this one hurts a little bit, because it says we really need to really guard the temple and be careful of what we put into the temple. Because he says, don't you know, 1 Corinthians 6:19, that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You're not your own. You were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. So as we wrap this up, we're joined together. We're built together, and we need to grow in Christ together. So, application. We were once separated from God and His people, but now in Christ, both Jew and Gentile have been united with God as well as with one another. We can only be saved when we are reconciled to Him, whether Jew or Gentile. Do you know Jesus this morning? Let us pray. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, to be a part of your family. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have reconciled us because of the blood of Jesus. God, may we love you and love each other with all our differences. May we not forget, Lord, that it's all level at the cross. And Lord, the cross brings unity, brings hope. It breaks down those barriers. So Lord, as we, I trust, reflect on this message this morning, may we, Lord, be more like you as we're on this journey. May we put Jesus on display as we serve you through this local body. In your name we pray. Amen. Will you stand with me?